Bay Packers fans. Welcome to Railbird Central at Cheesehead TV. I'm your host, Brian Caravu. Joined by our live blog director, Jamie Snowden. We're talking some Packers football today. We're talking about the return of Matt Flynn to the green and gold. I see on our live blog Patrick Sherwood saying he just rewatched highlights of the Packers-Cowboys game from last season. That was a pretty good game for Matt Flynn. Probably one of the reasons the Packers brought him back. Interesting news yesterday on Tuesday. Matt Flynn was scheduled to visit the New York Football Giants. Matt Flynn apparently had things all set up, was going to work out for the Giants on Tuesdays. They're going to see if they wanted to sign him or not. Reportedly, they were also bringing quarterback Josh Freeman into town, kind of looking for a backup quarterback to Eli Manning out there in New York. Eli Manning had surgery. He's going to miss some of the team's offseason program, so they're looking for a veteran to help him out. You know, when rosters are big and large, they need some extra arms in there, people to throw balls around to the wide receivers, hand off to the running backs, etc., etc. And I don't know, you know, there's been no mention whether that really motivated the Packers to sign Flynn. Yesterday reported that they agreed to terms. I guess I've since seen reporters say that it's official. The Packers have officially re-signed Matt Flynn. But, you know, just the timing aspect of it, you know, seeing as he was set to be out in New York, I don't know if he actually, you know, the plane actually touched down and he was out there, and whether he actually worked out or not, I don't know. The news broke at about midday yesterday. But, you know, again, the timing of it kind of made you think that, oh, the Packers, they're kind of faced with the prospect of losing Matt Flynn. Maybe we better up our offer a little bit, or we could lose him potentially. That might be the mindset that the Packers were taking. Details of the contract have not been released. We don't know the number of years, the number of dollars. You know, that'll probably end up, you know, being leaked here within a day or two. So it shouldn't be long till we find out. You know, I can't imagine it's for a large number of years or a large number of dollars. Matt Flynn just isn't a player that's in high demand, but obviously somebody they wanted to bring back, and I think this is a good choice by the Green Bay Packers. By no means is Matt Flynn assured of a roster spot this season, I don't think. I mean, maybe the size of the contract could make me change my mind, but I really don't think that's the case. I think they want competition this year. Typically, teams only carry two quarterbacks on their regular season roster. That's kind of been the MO of the Packers for the past several years. You know, that teams like to have a third quarterback a lot of times on the practice squad in their back pocket, but just can't afford that extra roster spot on game days. That seems to be, you know, for a guy who rarely ever plays, they don't really want to keep three. So there could be some intense competition this year, starting with the offseason program that begins next week. But, you know, continuing through OTAs, minicamp, and into training camp, could be some big-time competition. Matt Flynn, of course, the veteran, the experienced guy, the guy who knows the Packers offense like the back of his hand, the guy who knows the receivers because he's been throwing to them, some of them, for years, but at least last season he got some experience operating in the Packers offense, operating behind their new offensive line. But, you know, of course, Matt Flynn with the ball club from when he was a rookie in 2008 to 2011. So he's been around the block before, and that gives him the upper hand over a guy like Scott Tolzien, the only other quarterback currently under contract. I should say backup quarterback. Obviously, we're talking about, you know, backing up Aaron Rodgers here, and you know, in an ideal world, Aaron Rodgers is the only guy to take a snap unless, you know, the Packers are winning big in a blowout and they just, you know, putting the backup into for garbage time or whatever. But as we saw last season, of course, backup quarterback a little bit more important than the Packers maybe treated it last year. They went through musical chairs, basically. They had B.J. Coleman, they had Graham Harrell, they had Vince Young all in for training camp and ended up being quite a circus. I mean, those guys tried hard, but none of them were up to snuff, really, NFL caliber quarterbacks, as the Packers found out. You know, they eventually cut all of them and end up with Seneca Wallace being the backup quarterback for before he too ended up getting injured. So the Packers, you know, taking a different approach this year, got some different faces who they hope will be better. And you know, as I was getting to before, Matt Flynn, in competition with Scott Tolzien. And Scott Tolzien kind of looks like he has the better physical talent. The guy who has the stronger arm. You saw it on display in the little bit of time he got to play last year. It just, you know, it really was impressive from the time he was at the University of Wisconsin, and he looked good then. But there's definitely been, you know, some physical development in Scott Tolzien, and he really does have, you know, a cannon for an arm. I mean, maybe not Brett Favre caliber or anything like that, but rather impressive. Some impressive physical tools there. And you know, Matt Flynn doesn't have that. He doesn't have the cannon. Although you can't argue he has the accuracy, he has the experience, he has the savvy, he has the know-how, he has the mind, he has the brain, he's a leader. Those are all the things that Matt Flynn offers. And it's hard to argue with the way Matt Flynn led that team to come from behind victories, like we talked about before, against Dallas. But also, you know, he leads them to the come from behind victory against Atlanta, the come from behind tie against the Minnesota Vikings. And yeah, you might, you know, laugh at a tie, but I mean, if the Packers don't tie that game, they don't make the playoffs. So, you know, Matt Flynn really, you know, he got the job done last year. He kept the ship afloat and kept the Packers alive for a spot in the playoffs. You know, Matt Flynn last year, he completed 62% of his passes. He threw 8 touchdowns. He threw 5 interceptions. Good, not great numbers, but good enough for the Packers to operate their offense with little change to the system. You know, they didn't have to cater to Matt Flynn. They could basically run their offense with few changes. I mean, there's probably throws Aaron Rodgers can make that Matt Flynn can't. But still, you know, his knowledge of the offense allowed the Packers to operate efficiently last year, efficiently enough to put him in position to win games. That's what Matt Flynn does. Going back to the physical aspect here, last year there were rumors, there were reports that Matt Flynn, he had some elbow issues, and that kind of led to why he wasn't so effective in Seattle, in Oakland, in Buffalo, where he got cut from all those places, especially after being given such a huge contract in Seattle. End up, you know, signing for a decent enough amount of money in Oakland, ends up getting cut both places. You know, he just had a cup of tea in Buffalo last year. But, you know, Matt Flynn never used that as an excuse. I remember him being asked and he kind of denied it. But, you know, you could just look at him and see, you know, he doesn't have the arm strength of Scott Tolzien or Aaron Rodgers for that matter. I don't know, maybe with, you know, an off season here, maybe he gets healthy, maybe Matt Flynn looks a little bit better, but it will be a heated battle. I mean, again, Packers probably only keeping 2 quarterback spots on the 53-man roster. I suppose it wouldn't be unheard of if they kept 3 quarterbacks. You know, especially if Scott Tolzien looks really impressive or a rookie looks really impressive, and we'll get to the rookie options here in a moment. But, you know, these guys probably fighting for just two quarterback jobs, and of course, one is already, you know, spoken for with Aaron Rodgers. So it's just the backup that they're looking for. It'll be interesting when it comes, you know, the offseason program. Matt Flynn will be scrutinized, as will all the backup quarterbacks competing for a job. They're going to be compared, you know, how Scott Tolzien and Matt Flynn look in practice or anybody they bring in. And hopefully, you know, should Aaron Rodgers suffer another injury, they'll be in a little bit better shape than they were last season. And it's hard to think they won't. I think Seneca Wallace, I mean, obviously he had the failed attempt during training camp. All those guys didn't really, again, look up to snuff. I think Seneca Wallace, while a nice guy, he was past his prime. And Scott Tolzien was just inexperienced in general, not just from the Packers system, but just, you know, had very little NFL experience to back up on. You know, and really just, you know, wasn't ready yet. But now he's another year in. Scott Tolzien's going to go through head coach Mike McCarthy's quarterback camp this offseason, as will Flynn, and these guys will duke it out. So it'll be fun to watch. Fun to watch for the next several months, this quarterback battle that's going to be taking place, no doubt about it. Now, who else are the Packers going to bring in at the quarterback position? It looks as if, and we have a blog post here at CheeseheadTV.com. If you're listening to the live version of the show, you can just scroll down, and there in the latest buzz section, you can see that the Packers seem to be taking very seriously the late round options at quarterback this year. You can kind of tell a little bit that, you know, the Packers aren't about to invest an early round draft pick into a quarterback. You know, they expect Aaron Rodgers to be out there every down. And even if they don't, they've got, you know, at least Matt Flynn or Scott Tolzien to fall back on. So they're not about to spend certainly a first-round draft choice on a quarterback. Even day two would probably be pushing it, although I suppose I couldn't rule it out if they really, really like somebody. But, you know, again, we're talking, you know, day three, and it definitely wouldn't be unheard of for the Packers to sign an undrafted quarterback. And the Packers really taking this seriously, looking at, you know, several options. As we rounded up here and we reported here at Cheesehead TV last week, the Packers taking a look at North Dakota State's Brock Jensen, one of three quarterbacks that have been reported to have been brought in for a visit to Green Bay. And that these are just the ones that have been reported. There could be ones happening that are unreported for all we know. The Packers bring in Wisconsin native Brock Jensen, three-time national champion, leading North Dakota State to FCS national champions at that level for three straight years. Really impressive there. But then reports yesterday from Bill Huber of Packer Report, I know, noting that both David Fales of San Jose State and Keith Wenning of Ball State, Packers, you know, flying them out to team headquarters this week, or I know in the case of Fales, it was actually earlier this week. I think Sunday and Monday is when that took place. Not sure the exact date for Keith Wenning, but you know, they're really investigating into these guys. They're bringing them in to interview them, putting them through physical examinations, I'm sure, and wanting to really get inside their mind and wondering if they have what it takes and they can be there and they can, you know, be a legitimate option for the Packers' third-string quarterback, and they can mount a challenge to Matt Flynn or Scott Tolzien. So the Packers are considering this, and they're doing their due diligence, and these names are interesting. Take a look at a guy like David Fales, San Jose State. One of only two quarterbacks in the nation to throw for more than 4,000 yards the past two seasons, along with Derek Carr of Fresno State, actually in the same Mountain West Conference. Kind of a good conference for quarterbacks out there, underrated at least. But David Fales, invited to the Senior Bowl, invited to the NFL Combine. This is a guy who's not going to be a high round draft choice, but he is draft worthy. He's NFL draft caliber, probably. And it's interesting to see, you know, how high is he going to go? He's probably a day three type quarterback. But how early on day three kind of remains to be seen. And I guess the Packers are kind of figuring that out as well right now. That's why they're bringing him in, you know, figuring, you know, how much investment would we want to make in a player like this? And maybe they find out they don't really like him or at least like him enough and would pass on him. With Fales, he completed over 70% of his passes in 2012, 72.5% of his passes. That's really impressive. That's NFL caliber. And, you know, certainly, you completion percentage is not everything, you know, when they're just throwing little screen passes and smoke screens and things like that. It's not difficult for a quarterback to complete that kind of pass, but still over 70%. That's good. That's good for any quarterback. You want to be in that range, certainly. There's a lot to like about David Fales there. I know he went to the Senior Bowl and he wasn't really all that impressive there. At least, you know, according to reports I've seen from observers there, didn't really light things up. But again, I mean, when you're talking about a day three and undrafted type of quarterback, you're talking about guys who the Packers are hoping to develop. You're talking about guys who they don't hope will have to play in their rookie season, but maybe could in a pinch. But a guy they can bring along, and who knows, maybe they stash him on the practice squad, and they, you know, they so they're not having to play at all while they keep either Flynn or Tolzien, and then they keep a rookie on the practice squad. But okay, so we talked about David Fales. They're also bringing in Keith Wenning of Ball State, another guy. He was invited to the Senior Bowl, but he was invited to the East-West Shrine Game. He led Ball State, I know, to a 10-3 record this past season. They went to a bowl game. Not bad for a MAC school. Certainly you talk about MAC schools, and they end up getting beat up by the big boys in college football, but they held their own and did well in their own conference, go to a bowl game. And Keith Wenning, I know, he threw for over 4,000 yards. His touchdown to interception ratio was 35-7. This past year as a senior. Really good. I think there's a lot to like about him. I remember watching the when Northern Illinois and Ball State played each other. They played each other on like a Tuesday night, but it was nationally televised on ESPN2 or something like that. And I really wanted to watch the quarterbacks closely because I knew they were good. I knew Keith Wenning was good, and I knew Jordan Lynch of Northern Illinois was good. And I can't, you know, Jordan Lynch, of course, Heisman Trophy finalist, you know, a guy who's, you know, gets a lot of love and whatever, but more of a running type of quarterback. And I really came away from that game, you know, looking at them both closely, thinking Keith Wenning is the better NFL quarterback. Jordan Lynch, well, a nice guy and a great player, he's more of the bruising type of fullback in the mold of Tim Tebow that can run. And not to say he can't pass, but he's certainly Keith Wenning, the better passer. And I was impressed. And just another guy you think the Packers maybe could bring in, maybe develop something like that, and throw Brock Jensen in the mix, a guy who's 6'3", 220 pounds or so, ideal size for a quarterback. You're worried about his level of competition competing at the FCS level at North Dakota State. But, you know, in the games he had against major college level competition against Kansas State, they had that big comeback win. where Jensen Helpham, you know, made that last minute drive to win the game against Minnesota. They've won, so you know he's done well when presented with big tests. So these are interesting names, and the Packers usually, if they go out and they have these guys come in for visits, they are interested in these guys. A lot of times the Packers don't spend these free agent or, you know, not free agent, college prospect visits on the big names. They don't. They go out and they invite the small school guys. The guys, I shouldn't say, you know, always small school either. Usually the type of guys that weren't invited to the NFL Combine, weren't on the All-Star circuit, or guys they just didn't get a chance to talk to intimately, and they want that opportunity. They go out, you know, that the NFL Combine is so hectic. They only get 60 formal interviews at the NFL Combine. There's over 300 guys there. You know, they probably get to talk to a guy for 15 minutes or so, but then, you know, that's it. Well, whereas, you know, the Packers can bring David Fales and Keith Wenning and Brock Jensen, and they can talk to him from the better part of a day if they wanted. They can, you know, they can go and have a film session and get him on the whiteboard and do anything they want without any, you know, worry about time constraints. They can just talk and you know, they can talk to the whole coaching staff. Heck, Mike McCarthy can talk to these guys, the offensive coordinator, the quarterback coach, you name it. That's why they bring these guys in. That's why they're coming in and talking to them. You know, that they have all, there's no time constraints. They can talk to anybody they want. They can really pick their brain. That's why. So, Packers very serious about, you know, down the depth chart quarterback. They're really serious about, you know, having guys compete and doing a better job than they did last year. I think the Packers realized we kind of maybe took the quarterback position for granted, or at the very least they overestimated the talent level of the quarterbacks they had, you know, when talking about Graham Harrell, BJ Coleman, Vince Young. And they're serious about improving it, not only bringing back Matt Flynn, but scouting these guys rather heavily, and trying to find somebody good, because they don't want a situation like last year in 2013 where Aaron Rodgers gets hurt and they just flounder for a while. Like they did with Seneca Wallace and Scott Tolzien. And then Matt Flynn kind of solidified things. And like I said, maybe not Aaron Rodgers level, but kept the Packers ship afloat in the interim for the time being until Aaron Rodgers came back. So, yeah, Packers very serious about the quarterback position this year. Where else are we here on a Wednesday? Tailgate tour is taking place this week. Got started yesterday, first day of the Packers tailgate tour, pushing off from Green Bay. They're on their, you know, they have this bus that's branded. It's all green and gold. It says tailgate tour on it. So it sticks out. If you were on a highway or passing through town and you saw it, you know this is the Packers tailgate tour bus. But, you know, head team president Mark Murphy is kind of the master of ceremonies to an extent. He's kind of the point man for this, but leading a group of current players and former players. This year, the current players: kicker Mason Crosby, linebacker Brad Jones, cornerback Jared Bush, and in addition to a very unique group of veterans, you know, of former players, alumni they brought in this year. They kind of have the common thread, and all these guys played for the same team in the 1980s in those high-powered offenses. Pro Football Hall of Famer James Lofton, quarterback Lynn Dickey, and tight end Paul Kaufman. Just a, you know, a great group of guys there. And so they're touring the upper Midwest. And the tailgate tour got started this year in visiting Michigan's Upper Peninsula. They visited Escanaba last night. I know today the final destination is Ironwood, Michigan. They'll be at Big Powderhorn Resort there tonight. And, you know, just a great thing the Packers do to get involved in the community, give back a little bit. They, you know, this whole thing helps raise money that they give to local charities. So that's really nice and good and fun. And you know, they really publicize the final destinations of the night where they hold these tailgate parties. They have food. The fans can get autographs. There's a QA session held every night. But on top of that, you know, they make these unannounced stops pretty much every day. They stop at a school to visit kids, which is cool, and then also somewhere in the community, some sort of local place of business or something like that, or they've visited nursing homes. They'll go for lunch at local businesses, things like that, just to support the community and things like that, and really make fans' days. So that's taking place this week, and it'll continue. They're spending 2 days in, you know, the Upper Peninsula of Michigan, and they're coming back down and visiting a few places in northern Wisconsin. I think Rice Lake, I think Merrill, Wisconsin are a few of the stops, and Superior as well, all places they're stopping this year on the tailgate tour. So that continues all this week. I think Saturday is the final day, and then it concludes. And then the Packers begin their off-season program next week. One week from today at this time, the Packers off-season program will have begun, and we'll get into more about that next week, certainly. One kind of final note, the Packers officially, for the first time, listed Julius Peppers as a linebacker on the team's official website. When you look at the team's roster, actually, it's kind of a hybrid position. It says DE/LB, defensive end/linebacker, kind of a hybrid position. As you know, Mike McCarthy's been talking about this elephant defensive end position. The Packers are kind of having plan to use Julius Peppers. But what's interesting, though, is it's for the first time in his career Julius Peppers is being described as a linebacker. Whether he was in Carolina or Chicago, you never saw Julius Peppers described as a linebacker. It's always been defensive end his entire career. So for the first time, being described as kind of a hybrid linebacker. And so was Mike Neal, Packers roster. And I'm not sure if this is new. Maybe they did the same thing last year with Mike Neal, but listing him as a DE/LB or vice versa for Mike Neal. So the Packers really committed to kind of this hybrid elephant position. You're going to see these guys being utilized all over the Packers defense this year, whether it's standing up or in a three-point stance. More often than not, they'll be rushing off the edge, but these guys might be used on the interior a little bit as well. We know that's how Mike Neal's been used in the past, and Julius Peppers. I'm excited to see how the Packers use him, whether it'll be as a base defensive end ever in their 3-4 defense. He certainly seems to have the size for that, but obviously, he's been most prolific off the edge, so I don't think the Packers are going to want to stray from that too much. But it'll be interesting to see him standing up one snap and then getting into three-point stance, pinning his ears back and getting after the quarterback the next snap. Heck, even dropping into pass coverage once in a while. I don't think you're going to see it too often. But just, you know, one of those guys who you don't really you can see him being a chess piece. You just don't know what Julius Peppers is going to do, and that creates confusion on the offensive side of the football. A kind of guy you're going to have to worry about. You're going to have to double team him. You're going to have to put a lot of resources towards him, and that's going to open up things for other players. You know, when he gets double teamed, all of a sudden Clay Matthews isn't, or something like that, or, you know, somebody else isn't, Mike Daniels isn't, and somebody's going to get to the quarterback. So it's going to be a lot of fun to see this year, the Packers defense and how they use Julius Peppers. So very, very interesting. This whole listing of Julius Peppers kind of as a linebacker coincides with him being given number 56 officially earlier this week on Monday. The Packers named he would be wearing number 56, traditionally a linebacker number previously worn by Nick Burnett most prominently. So, yep, that's what the Packers are up to as we sit here on a Wednesday, and that'll do it for today's episode of Railbird Central. Thank you, everybody, so much for joining us here this morning. We'll be back again on Friday, typically air every Monday, Wednesday, Friday, 8:30 a.m. Central Time. That's our live edition. You can also catch our podcasted episodes. We're on iTunes. You could catch us on your Roku player via the live stream platform, all sorts of places to check out our content. But thanks so much, folks, for listening to our show. On behalf of Jamie Snowden, I'm Brian Kirivu. We'll see you Friday. I leave you today with a song called In the Kitchen by Humphreys McGee on Psy Fidelity Records. See you, folks. Go Pack, go.
It's cold in the kitchen and the lights are low as winter slowly stumbles home.